Frédéric Chopin celebrating his Polishness with an Andante Spianato and Grand Polonaise, played by Shura Cherkasky.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to WHFR out of Henry Ford Community College. We thank you for choosing WHFR as your classical connection. If you would like to learn more about what's happening in and around WHFR, programming changes, where we might be doing appearances, and so on and so forth, then we'd love you to be a part of our WHFR Loyal Listener mailing list. It is a free opportunity for you to receive right to your doorstep the WHFR Loyal Listener. It is our bi-monthly newsletter that shares all of the latest happenings of WHFR, both out and about in town or programming changes, music reviews, and so much more. And best of all, it's free. Simply give us a call, 313-845-9842. Leave your name, full address, and phone number, and I will put you on the WHFR mailing list just like that.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, non-commercial radio from Henry Ford Community College.
morning. This is WHFR Dearborn, and you're listening to the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And as the name of the show implies, we will be speaking about all things metaphysical for the next hour. And today, my special guest is someone we had back in March, I believe it was, talking about numerology, and she is Darlene Supel. And she's a psychic, and even though we talked about numerology last time with Darlene, today she's going to be talking about something that's very personal, and it's something that many people have gone through, but perhaps they're reluctant to talk about it, and that is the near-death experience, or NDEs for short, and we're going to be discussing that today. And with all that being said, I just want to say good morning, Darlene.
Good morning.
Thank you for being on the show, and how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Great.
Coffee tastes great.
Okay, that always helps.
Yes.
That keeps you awake, right?
Thank you.
Well, the first thing I would like to know is, how would you yourself define a near-death experience?
A near-death experience is where you literally leave your complete being. There is no sign of life mm-hmm. at all. You're, no heartbeat, there's no brain activity, you're gone.
Right. Clinically, you are
you
dead.
Are clinically gone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it might be that they have to restart your heart, or they have to use epi to, you know, give you a boost of energy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a clinical, actually, you're gone.
Right. Now, you've had that happen to you three times, I believe. Is that correct?
I have had it done three times mm-hmm. where I have left and medically had to be brought back. Clinically, I mm-hmm. was dead.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to go in a chronological order to go through these near-death experiences. So what was the first one like? When did it happen? What were the circumstances, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I was 18, and I was an atheist. Didn't mm-hmm. believe in God whatsoever. Terrified of death or what could possibly be on the other side. And I had received news that I had cervical cancer.
That's not good.
Stage four.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor said, we need to go in and, you know, we're not sure if you're going to have a hysterectomy or what's going to happen. 30 seconds into just putting me under it, all the red flags went off in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They had the crash cart that came in, and they had to actually restart my heart and mm-hmm. get my kidneys and everything re-going. But at that point, I don't remember crossing over, but I know that I was dead. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a light or this great abyss that, you know, everybody had talked about. But when I had woke up, I was in a coma. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in my head screaming, like, why can't you hear me? Why can't you see me? Why is everyone ignoring me? And I, in my head, I felt like I was moving my arms and, you know, blinking my eyes, but I wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably about, say, 9 hours later is when I finally came back in to mm-hmm. my body,
mm-hmm.
woke up, and that's when I was told that I was clinically dead, and they really had a hard time getting me back. And I was on life support for that whole 9 hours, and it wound up being an allergic reaction to the anesthetic
mm-hmm.
that wound up doing that.
Just briefly, if you could describe, you mentioned something earlier, what is a crash cart?
The crash cart is where it's a big, huge red toolbox in the medical community.
Mm-hmm.
And in that crash cart has the epi, it has the paddles, it has all the life-saving tools to bring someone who is clinically dead back.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. That's what they used.
Now, when you were in a coma, were you aware of things going on around you, people visiting you, et cetera, et cetera?
I was. And I remember I was standing outside, and I was screaming, like, why can't you see me? Why can't you hear me? So it really didn't comprehend until here it is 9 hours, 10 hours later, where I finally, here I jump back in and I open my eyes going, why weren't you guys listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were on life support.
Right.
You were clinically dead.
Right.
So it was a shock because I went into the surgery. And then hours later, aggravated because I could not understand why no one was seeing me,
right,
and hearing me and listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely an experience that mm-hmm. I remember telling even my mother. Here I was out of my body and no one was listening.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you weren't here. You were dead.
Right.
And we didn't know if you were even going to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So when you were in a coma, did you feel that you were trying to communicate to people and you wanted to let them know that you were okay and that things were going to be okay?
Yes, mm-hmm. I was. I was trying to communicate, and that was the aggravating part. If anyone has ever experienced a coma, you're talking, you're speaking, you think everyone can see you. It's just kind of that, you know, movie type thing of, I'm standing here, you know, mm-hmm. I know I'm moving my fingers, how come you can't see that?
Right.
But
it's
you're
their
not.
Perception, right. But, I mean, they're not seeing what you're doing or what you are perceiving as yourself doing.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
So, initially, the first time you just felt you were in a coma and it was like a dream. It wasn't really something where you floated up or saw the tunnel of light or anything like
didn't
that.
Didn't see the tunnel. Didn't, you know, the whole fantasy thing that people gloriously get to have in their first experience.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing when it happened the second time of why it didn't happen that first time, because it wasn't my time.
Right.
It wasn't a calculation process that it was not lined up for me to have that experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, for that first time, did you see any spirit guides, anything like that, in that they told you it wasn't your time to go?
No. There was no one there, and that was the scary part.
Mm-hmm.
Because here, I'm seeing people, you know, my family, my friends, my best friend that was standing at my bedside that's crying, and, you know, the machine, and I can't figure out what's, you know, why can't they hear me? Why can't they see me?
Mm-hmm.
And here they're all, you know, gosh, I think we need to start making some type of plans because
right.
she's on life support. If mm-hmm. we pull this, she's not going to wake up.
Right.
So.
How long were you in a coma?
9 hours.
9 hours? Yeah. Well, that's going to be very scary for anybody, I would think. I mean, not only the patient, but also the loved ones that
I think the one
her.
That was most afraid was the doctor.
Really?
Because it was only 18. He wasn't expecting a simple procedure
mm-hmm.
to go into a life support and almost not being able to bring me back.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of medicine and the medical community to really, you know, it was emotional.
Right. But it all helped to pull you through.
It did.
And obviously the cancer got taken care of.
It was gone.
Oh, really?
It was
right
gone.
Right after this experience,
yeah,
it was gone?
It mm-hmm. was gone.
That's pretty amazing in
it
itself.
Was amazing because the doctor, they were ready for chemo and, you know, being on life support, they did not think I was going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So what was the second time like? In
the second time was actually a year later.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was pregnant. And I remember when I was 5 months pregnant, my grandfather had passed. And after he had passed, I remember him coming to me and telling me, remember, it is not your time. It will not be your time.
Mm-hmm. He came to you in a dream?
He kept coming to me.
Okay.
Actually, physically, not in dream.
Okay.
And I had mentioned this to a friend, and she said, well, you know, grieving process is one of those issues. And I had wound up getting toxemia at 6+, I guess is like the worst that you could possibly get with toxemia. And I was like 8.5 months pregnant, and I was admitted to the hospital, and the next morning they were going to start inducing. And of course I was doing all this nice little music and the meditation and the whole, you know, holistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say probably about 7 hours into the labor, my kidneys started to fail and I started deteriorating. And I remember looking at my labor room helper. I don't think I can mention her name.
Okay.
But I remember looking at her and I said, I can't see you, but I can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I just blacked out. But I remember floating up,
mm-hmm.
and I started walking through the hospital, but I remember hearing, you know, doctor, get in here, and all this commotion, and they were yelling and screaming, you know, doing the thing medically that they were doing. But I remember going to a light. It was so quick and so beautiful. And when I got to the light, and actually at the end of the tunnel, I walked a little bit, and I remember seeing my essence,
mm-hmm.
which was absolutely beautiful. What you look like here on this earth is not what you see yourself on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You actually look like you're an angel. If you can picture a nice white glow and the gorgeous blonde hair and
mm-hmm.
just the angelic and the music and the unconditional love
mm-hmm.
that you feel, all fear, all pain, all sin, everything that you felt as a mortal is gone. And I remember going through three gates, golden gates,
mm-hmm.
and there was my guardian angel, and he was wearing a green emerald ring, and he said, no, you have to go back. And it seemed like 2 seconds. It felt like I went to sleep. It wasn't painful.
Because
I remember being in a lot of pain in the kidneys and everything that they were doing. It was so painful. And when I left, it was not there. It's like just going to sleep. But when I came back is when it was really painful.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where, if you could imagine an abscess tooth and amplifying that like 1,000 times, you know.
Wow, that is bad.
Or a root canal with no medicine, you know. It's like, it's so painful coming physically back. Anyone that's had a near-death experience will be able to go, yeah, it is so physically painful to come back into the body that after the experience, you wonder, was it real? And I remember when I had woke up and, you know, of course they rushed me in to have the baby, I remember seeing my angel for 3 days, and I kept telling the nurse, he's here, but I'm not ready to go. And she, of course, no, there's no one in the room. And I said, yeah, he's right there. So he stayed with me for about 3 days. I got better. I stayed in the hospital for about 9 days. But after that, there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
There is such unconditional love. But after that, I suffered a depression for quite a while to try to figure out, why was I sent back? Why, you know, I thought it was my time, but thinking back now, who would have raised that poor little baby?
Right.
I had to be here for her.
Right. And just briefly, I want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station that's making waves. This is the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Darlene Supel, and we are talking about near-death experiences. And I was just curious, when you were walking around the hospital, how would you describe your shape or your form? Was it a human form, or what was it?
I was really thin, which was exciting.
Okay. That's a good thing, right?
I was very pregnant.
Yes.
And, you know, I was, I had gained like 80 pounds in a couple of days because mm-hmm. of all the toxemia. I was really thin, and I didn't mind that my butt was showing.
You know,
I didn't
mind that I was
walking the hallways in this gown, and, you know, it was just kind of that playful thing of, la, 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 I'm in a dream. This is great.
Right.
I'm out of pain.
But now when you crossed to the other side, were you still in human form, would you say?
I was in human form, but I was more energy.
Mm-hmm.
I was, how can I explain it? You ever have a dream where you kind of look fuzzy, but you're still in form?
Not that I can recall, but go ahead, and if that's what you experienced, go ahead and explain that.
I think that that's probably the best way, or if you've ever seen, like, even someone walking down the street, if it's getting dark, where they kind of look a little fuzzy, or if you have no glasses and you look at someone and they're kind of fuzzy, but they're still in form until they get closer, that's what I looked like, was this nice energy, white light, angelic. I was beautiful.
Well, you're beautiful now.
Well, thank you. When you come back, you're like, oh, you know, I want that other body back.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I want that angel body. I want that energy.
It sounds good anyway.
It's so beautiful because a lot of people, they concentrate so much on, you know, oh, my face doesn't look right, or I have funny teeth, or my weight, or, you know, my eyes are crooked. You're not like that on the other side.
You don't have that perception.
You're perfect form. You are pure energy, but you're still a shape. You're still an outline.
Right. Now, the spirit guy that you met, did you recognize this person as properly being somebody you knew in the past or something like that?
No.
No? Did you experience any type of meeting of souls?
Gatherings.
Yeah, something like that?
No, but I remember when I woke up, and I looked at my labor room helper, and I had told her, I spoke to God. I spoke to my angel. And she said, yeah, you were gone for 4 minutes, Darlene. And I think that's when it became a reality. And after that is when I could see him.
Right. Now, I believe that some people might blame the drugs or something like that. Maybe you had a hallucination, but that is not the case.
I had no drugs. I didn't have any Demerol. I had a lot of IVs. I remember that. That's where the medical community, you know, some can be explanations and some can't. And there was no explanation of why I just died. You know, the heart was strong. I was only, you know, 19. Won't tell my age now.
Yes. Okay.
A lady never tells her age. But there wasn't a medical reason. Yes, I had the toxemia and I was at 6+, which that's most likely of, you know, having seizures or, you know, something like that. But my heart completely stopped and I remember my heart just racing, and I had asked her, what did they do? Because it just felt like a lightning bolt when I came back. And she said they had to use Epi 3 times to restart the heart. Next would have been the jumper cables is what I call them.
Well, now, when you crossed over, you felt no pain whatsoever?
None. It was so incredibly peaceful. And I remembered what my grandfather had said. Wasn't my time.
Now, when you came back, is that when you experienced the pain again?
Excruciating pain. I thought I had been in pain before, but I think when you go to that type of light and energy and all is forgiven and the unconditional love and realizing that you are actually a really beautiful essence inside and outside, you feel people's pain. You feel the earth pain. You feel all of this horrendous energy that we carry. And I think that that's where the horrendous pain was coming from. Because you, as you have that experience, you at first are, am I dreaming? Was it?
Right.
You know? But no, I wasn't dreaming. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't on any drugs. You know, you realize that something very special happened and you want to share that. But then that's where the depression comes from, which anyone that has had that experience can identify, that there's this guilt because you want to share it. You want to spread it. You want to give that unconditional love back.
And do you find that people can't understand that when you try to explain it?
Some people have a hard time. I know that people that come around to me or clients that I will have, you know, even strangers off the street will walk up and they will say there's something very odd and different. You know, there's a light within you and an energy that you feel. And some have said, I can feel that unconditional love energy, and some, it scares them.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, with this particular incident, though, the child was okay?
The child is wonderful.
Really?
She is having a child now.
Oh, really? Wow. So what goes around comes around, right?
And what was interesting is when she was probably at that age where they start to walk around and grab onto the tables, I remember I had this little crock radio on my dresser. And somehow that little girl walked over and found a religious station. And for the longest time, she would listen to, like, Christian music, and mm-hmm. she was really into church, and she would find the Christian stations, and, you know, that was that confirmation,
right.
Which was really unique.
Right. So you think that she was affected as well?
I really honestly do.
Mm-hmm. That she
and maybe I had to go there to bring her here.
Mm-hmm. Right. That could be.
Yeah.
And just real briefly, once again, I want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station that is always making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest is Darlene Supel. And she's a psychic, and today, however, we are talking about near-death experiences. Now, something I want to know, can you take us perhaps to the third time that it happened to you?
Yes.
And was this the biggest one, or what?
I think the second one was the biggest one.
Really?
Because that really changed my whole outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a really strong gift, and it gave me clarity on society and people, and to help to look beyond and to know that every moment that I live is worth every precious breath.
Mm-hmm.
That at any moment, it could be your time.
Right.
And to take every moment and to live, but to not live with fear, and to know that I know I'm going to heaven
mm-hmm.
in the end. When it is my time, which I think is going to be when I'm 95.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. That's what I remember
them
telling
prediction?
Me.
Okay.
That I'm going to live to being a really good person and trying to do right for humans.
Mm-hmm.
So
it did deeply affect you.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
It changed me as a person.
Mm-hmm. And so what was that third time?
The third time I was, this one was, I think, more emotional. I had gone to my father-in-law, and he had told me that my baby was going to be born. I was pregnant, and he told me that she was going to be born on July 9th, that he was getting ready to go. And I think it was the next morning, I had gotten a message from Spirit that I was going to go, that my time was done, and that I would have to make a decision on a sacrifice. So I had told Spirit, you know, that give me a moment to think about this. I wasn't ready. So we had gotten a call that his dad had died. So the next day, I started not feeling good. So I called the doctor, and they said, you need to come in. And they decided that they were going to induce. Well, that morning, the morning that they were getting ready to induce, the message came again. You need to make a decision. It's your time. And I said, if you need to take someone, then you need to take me and not the child.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm okay, that I am willing to sacrifice my life for this child.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is to be this way, then I'm okay with it. And I had told my husband, and I had told my best friend that I was going to die that day. And they said, oh, Darlene, you're not ready to go. And I said, but I am. I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
So probably about 20 minutes into the labor, my uterus ruptured.
Wow.
and I had lost more than half my blood within 4 minutes. So I was rushed in, and surgery was about 4.5 hours long, and I was out of body, mm-hmm. you know, watching the commotion and, you know, making sure that the child was going to be born and that she would be the one to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I had accepted it, that spirit was okay with that, and I was placed back in my body.
Mm-hmm. So did you actually float above the situation and actually see the doctors and nurses performing whatever they had to do on you?
I did, because I don't remember physically what they were doing to me, mm-hmm. you know, like the whole delivery, but I remember the scenery. I remember what the nurse had did, and I had asked the nurse, why did you push my child's head back in me when I pushed her out? And she said, how'd you know that? I said, because I watched you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me really angry, because at that point I was already out. I was already gone. Plus a few other things that they had did in that whole scenery that... It was pretty, I still get pretty emotional about it,
mm-hmm.
Because I was on the outside watching,
mm-hmm.
you know, this shell
right.
that the medical community just really neglected,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a little child that needed me by her side, so.
Right. They were trying to do something to have a different outcome, something that you didn't want to happen, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm. And she was... She was born dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was put on life support,
mm-hmm.
and I stayed out of my body until I knew that she was in hers,
mm-hmm.
and then I was placed back in.
Right, so things were very unsettled there for a while?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you actually cross over at that time?
That time, I did not want to go to the light. Even though it was there, they were waiting, you know, the whole family reunion and the whole, come on, darling, you agreed to this, you know, you told us you were going to come. But I'm not sure what caused them to, I guess it was my stubbornness to say, I can't leave this child.
Mm-hmm.
I can't let her go. I can't let my husband have to bury 3 people in 2 days.
Right.
So
that would have been a lot for anybody to have to go through that.
Yeah, my husband still has a hard time dealing with that whole delivery and kind of everything that transpired at the time. But I can honestly say it changed the way the hospital now handles deliveries. And I don't think I can say who the hospital is, but
mm-hmm.
it definitely changed something,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I remember social workers coming in after I came back in my body, and it was like 24 hours later, I woke up.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, in that coma state where I was just kind of floating around and mm-hmm. watching over the baby.
Right.
And when I came back, they had come into the room, and they said, do you need to talk? Do you realize what happened to you? And I said, not physically, no. And I don't really physically want to remember, but I know what happened, and I know what you did, and I watched the whole thing, you know, telling her what happened, what I saw. I said, but I really don't think emotionally that it's going to change what I felt spiritually, you know.
Right.
I was lucky enough to come back.
Mm-hmm. Now, this particular child, is it a he or a she?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Does she have psychic abilities?
She is a pretty amazing little girl. I don't know if you call it psychic ability. It was pretty interesting when she was 2. She started having seizure activities. And they did an MRI, and they found that the inner core of the brain, if people are into the hypothalamus and where all the psychic activity of the kind of that dead area of the brain that they're uncertain of, she has a little bit of a different make in there than what the rest of us have. So as she has grown, I would say she's more psychic than being psychic, if that makes sense. She can see things. She can see auras. She can see things that are coming. She mm-hmm. can see essence. She can see soul, which is pretty incredible. And now that she's getting a little older, she's starting to become a little bit, you know, scared of what she's seeing. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to explain and help her to understand, you know, because she, you know, her first moment of breath was a near-death experience. Right. So,
right. So these are all spontaneous things that she has happened to her, in that she's
starting to see like
things.
A black cat that, you know, she's finding of not wanting to see because it seems to be associated with bad news. So that's starting to happen for her. She's always seen ghosts in her room. If I have a client come over, she'll just watch their family members kind of just walk into her bedroom, and, you know, she'll just kind of wave at them going, please go away.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to talk to you.
So. Yes. Well, that could be scary for
yeah,
a child.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Now, with all this happening to you, do you think this really helped increase your psychic awareness?
It opened up the door.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew I was different.
Right.
But I really think after that second experience is when I realized, when I came back, mm-hmm. that the dead followed me.
Right.
And it seems to be the tragic ending ones, not the nice little, you know, the person died of cancer, you know, or they just kind of went to sleep because they were 90. The tragic endings that will talk to me, or if a client comes, I'll instantly know.
Mm-hmm.
So that opened up a big door.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing when someone's going to die, seeing that, smelling it, that's really hard, because that's where you try not to tell the person, or just kind of keep that to yourself and pray to God that maybe you can convince them to give that person a little bit of extra time.
Mm-hmm. So when you were crossing over, you felt no pain whatsoever?
No pain. It was absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this nice, gentle going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel great joy at all?
When I realized, when I was in the gates, you know, when you go through the tunnel, it's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally 2 seconds. And when you're, I guess you're in the fog, because that's what it looked like to me, was like mist and fog.
Right.
But it was pure white. And I know everyone waits to hear, you know, is God sitting on the throne? Is he standing right there? He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He is that fog. He is that mist. That's when I realized I was dead.
Mm-hmm. When you felt his presence?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. And I knew that no matter what I had done or what I was all forgotten and forgiven. But it did not allow me to come back and go, okay, you know, I'm going to do some bad stuff to see if I can get back into the Golden Gates. God is everywhere, mm-hmm. and he is everything, and that's what helps you to realize. But it's very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
There's no fear.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody once again that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And this program is called Metaphysically Speaking. And my special guest today is Darlene Supel. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And we are talking about near-death experiences on this show. Now, you would say that you're no longer afraid of death?
No.
Really?
Not afraid. I think I had mentioned that I've been driving at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I have friends that can contest to this, where I'll pick up a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
I will stop, and I will give $20 to a homeless person. I've had a lot of really angelic experiences. I'm not afraid, but it's not that I encourage people to go and tempt fate either.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
But I'm not afraid.
Right. So
but I'm also not going to go look, you know, to jump off a 12-story building to go, okay,
right.
God, you know, give
right.
me wings to fly.
Yes.
I won't do that.
Right.
But I know there's a really great place at the end, but right now I'm enjoying very much being alive and being able to spread just one person of unconditional love and faith, that there is someone really, you know, unconditionally just to do something nice.
Mm-hmm. Just because it's a good thing to do.
Just a good thing, and God mm-hmm. protects. He watches over.
Mm-hmm. And you also, I believe, in when we were talking about this, you said that everybody's forgiven, that there is no blame.
There is no blame, and I know this is probably going to cause a lot of controversy, but we see a lot of bad stuff on the news, a lot of tragic things on the news. That is all in a divine plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in those 4 minutes when I was there, there was a lot of information that was given. In those 4 minutes, it seemed like 2 seconds,
mm-hmm.
but it was 4 minutes. But God spoke and gave a lot of information. There are things that are needed here on earth, for one, to help with overpopulations. To another is that it's someone else's lesson that needs to be learned, that we cannot intervene. And bad things are going to happen in this world, but it's supposed to help bring enlightenment. It's supposed to bring humanity together. And a lot of people forget about that. They mm-hmm. forget that, whether it's a child dying, whether it's a rape, whether it's a murder, you know, we're hearing a lot of these terrible things that people are like, oh my gosh, but they're not terrible, terrible things. Those things are forgiven. But
right.
there is a reason and lesson for those parties. But it is for us to make change with it.
Mm-hmm. So if we hear of some tragic event or something, some horrendous crime, it is all for the good in the end?
In the end.
Mm-hmm. And that everybody has a lesson to learn. And even though we may say that this person's terrible for committing this rape or murder or whatever, they are supposed to learn something from this, and they are supposed to go through it because it's already been divined by the spirit,
by God, by mm-hmm. angels, by divine order.
Right.
Let's say Amber, we have Amber Alert.
Mm-hmm.
If it would not have been for that, you know,
right.
sad thing to happen, we would not have Amber Alert.
Right.
John Tesh with America's Most Wanted, if it would not have been for his son, you forget the child's name, we wouldn't have America's Most Wanted. So even though in the moment we think it's a terrible tragedy and horror, it is in a great divine purpose
mm-hmm.
that this is taking place for the greater of humanity.
Right. And once these things are in motion, they are supposed to happen?
Everything is pre-written.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is predestined. There's nothing that we come on this earth that we aren't prepared or that we don't realize is not going to happen, because we already know it's going to happen. It's just trying to remember it. And whether it's good or bad, there's always a lesson that gives us strength. And those that feel God is farthest away when we're going through a really hard time, he's actually the closest.
Mm-hmm. People just don't understand that, right?
No, because they forget to feel him. They forget to see him. They forget to hear him. And may it be that someone, when you're having a really bad day, just walks up out of the clear blue and says, God sent me, or gives you that really angelic, and those that are listening probably go, yeah, that has happened, where I was having a really bad day, or I was really sad, or my boyfriend broke up, or my girlfriend left, and something great divine happened.
Mm-hmm. And it is God's will, then.
It is God's will.
Mm-hmm. So we don't really have free choice, would you say?
Well, we have free choice whether we want to jump off a building or not. But that moment where, I'm not sure if you've ever had this experience, Mike, but have you ever just that moment where you're sitting there and you just feel peace come over you? Almost as if it's just such a serene feeling. That's God. That's mm-hmm. the angels. Mm-hmm. So when we're having that day, that moment, whether it's the guy that cuts us off or you know, our boss yells at us or the coffee doesn't taste right, you know, it's to remember that. So you take that moment to stop so you don't throw the coffee out the window, which might hit the bird, which causes this reaction.
Right, or cause an accident or who knows what.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we have free will, but also God intervenes.
Mm-hmm. And again, if it's your time, it's your time. If it's not, it's not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you'll hear stories about that. Mm-hmm. But everyone knows when it's going to happen. Because mm-hmm. angels and God, they come and they let you know. Mm-hmm. Whether it's through dreams, whether it's through messages, whether it's through sequences. You'll hear people talk about that. You know, sequences or they'll have a fear. Again, you're going back to their free will. Sometimes fears can manifest where people can sometimes make those things happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes God didn't have anything. You know, he may have been the one to give you a flat tire so you didn't go.
You know? Right. Right. Well, you say you never know why one thing happens so another doesn't.
Right.
You just don't know when those things come up. Do you counsel people that perhaps you know are dying and you let them know of your experience and tell them that there is a better place and all that good stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a few clients that I have a family that comes to me to actually help them prevent death, to prevent bad fate, because sometimes things just aren't ready. It's not time. So they will come and I will counsel them or advise them, you know, from what I see, and they want to know. You know, I had a gentleman come and bluntly just ask, how much longer do I have? I said, you have 90 days, but it's up to you. God's not ready for you yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him counsel on how to help change that, and he's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool.
Right. How long ago was that?
I'd say May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, so. Is he, I guess, sick? I mean, does he have some terminal illness?
Well, he had a bad heart. Doctors had him really over-medicated. He was getting ready to go into a procedure. And I said, God's just telling me that you need to have a little bit more faith with him and trust. Mm-hmm. And not so much trust that the medicine is going to get you better. So he went on a vacation, won some money, decided to skip the procedure, and he's doing really well. He actually cut back the medication and
really, that's great.
Started going to church and mm-hmm. using prayer. And
now he's got a new lease on life.
He really does, and he's really happy, and he's here for his children and celebrating Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And it must help, I guess, with their expectations and their fears to help get over them and also, again, their expectations, what they can, I guess, reasonably expect to experience on the other side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And once again, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is the program called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and my special guest this month is Darlene Supel. And we are talking about near-death experiences. Now, has anybody else in your family ever experienced anything like that, a near-death experience that you're aware of?
You know, my mom, I was a senior in high school, and she had an abscess on her brain. It was a mastoid. And she said in the surgery, she remembers God coming to her and speaking to her. But she didn't die. So, you know, it's one of those scientific things of, well, they were tampering with the brain, or did she really have it?
Right.
I think as long as she believed that it happened and that it made her stronger faith and closer to God and having a little bit more stronger heart as a mortal, I think that, sure, it probably did happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that in your opinion, the place you were at was heaven, and that's where you're going when you do cross over permanently.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel, or was there the impression that you received when you were on the other side, that there is a hell, so to speak?
No.
No?
I know I've heard people talk about, you know, those experiences, but either I was young and hadn't quite committed too many sins, you know, or just not believing in that type of thing, that there is no hell, there is no evil. Just believing that there's one place, and that's up in heaven and God. So whether it's my belief system, should ask that next time.
I just think
they're kind of getting used to me, frequent flyer Myers up there.
That's right. But I would just think that if everybody is forgiven and there is a forgiving God or God-like spirit, that there wouldn't be a need for hell, because everybody, like we talked about earlier, is here for a reason, and everybody goes through what it is they need to.
Right.
So do you feel that...
I have yet to see a demon or a devil or, you know, a hell-type experience. But everybody has a different belief system.
Right.
So...
Right. Now, do you feel, though, that this is a place where you are there permanently, that you don't leave?
Well, I think when it's finally my time, when I'm 95 years old, I'm hoping... going to get sent back when I'm feeble at 95. I really believe that that is the last place. I know there's this lot of controversy of reincarnation. You know, I can look at it metaphysically going, yeah, I've had three reincarnations in just one lifetime, three new lives, you know, be born, you know, again. You know, being there, I just didn't see that there was a team members up there, you know, waiting for the reincarnation train. I didn't see that. So whether you want to call it nirvana or the final resting place, or I went through three gates, so that that was it.
Now, you said the one time family members were calling you over.
Yeah.
Did you actually recognize people or get their essence, feel their essence?
I did. You know, my grandparents and great-grandparents and aunt and uncles, and absolutely, they were there that morning.
And so, were you happy to see them?
I was absolutely so excited to see them. It's that great thing of, this is really wonderful to have this reunion, and gosh, I'm just not done. I have more work that I think I need to do. I'll see you guys in, you know.
Yeah, when I'm
60 years.
Yeah, right.
70 years.
Whatever works out, yeah. Well, we don't want to do that because people might add things up.
Right.
And, you know, come up with today's
80
age.
Years.
And, yeah, we don't want that. So, yeah. Well, whatever works. Yeah, 80 years. There you go. Yeah. You're only 15. Okay.
Right.
Well, yeah. You never know. But, so... Again, you feel that there's nothing to be afraid of, that it's just a natural part of life, and that, once again, you are not afraid here on the earth plane, because whatever happens, happens.
Whatever happens, happens. I don't fret about, you know, okay, I'm going to walk into a bank and that's it. Because if it is, I'm not going to know.
Okay.
I'm just going to go to sleep.
Yeah. And like
it'll
you
be
said,
beautiful and wonderful. And
right. And you don't expect to feel any pain regardless of whatever takes your life?
No. Not expecting any pain. Just go to sleep gracefully and go see God.
Go from there, yes, right.
See my family.
That's right.
Have some margaritas and sit on a cloud.
Just one big party,
right?
Okay, that sounds good. Now, if anybody wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so? Because I know not only... of course, that you experienced the near-death experiences, but you also are a psychic, and like I said, we had you on for numerology.
Yeah.
So I know you do many things. Maybe you want to run down some of the things you do and how people can get in touch with you.
I do private readings. I also do a lot of the psychic fairs. probably Michigan Psychic Fair is one of the ones that are the most popular ones that I do, and that you can find the Phenomenal News or my home number. I can give that out.
Yeah, by all means.
Okay.
Whatever information you want.
It's 313-533-1870.
Okay, well, that's great to know, and I really
and
do
the
feel
readings that I give is it's not like a half an hour. I give like 2.5-3 hour readings. It's it's different than the crystal ball and oh, you're going to get a job and you're going to fall in love. It's definitely from the soul and God and giving information to really help the person get back on track and to get their faith back into their life.
So a person gets their money's worth with you, is that it?
You know, I don't charge that much, actually.
So you might think of it as benefiting mankind, some of the information that you're passing on to people.
Yeah, and I do a lot of free stuff. I do charity, you know. I do it because that's the work that's meant to help people.
Well, that's very good, and once again, thank you for being here, because I do feel that you have gone through quite a bit. And like I said, I do think that helps accelerate a person's psychic abilities. And I think that's something that's very interesting. And with all that being said, I just want to wish you happy holidays and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, and you have a great holiday.
Okay, thank you.
And new beginnings next year. Yay!
That's right. We'll see what happens.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Hello, and welcome back to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I am your host, Mike Holloway, and you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station that is making waves. Right now, I want to take time out to thank this month's guest, Darlene Supel, for coming in and talking about near-death experiences. I thought it was very interesting, and I do appreciate the fact she was able to come in and do the show. And as always, I would like to thank my producer, Kristen Risbeck, for once again coming in and helping assist me with this show. Once again, I do appreciate all of her efforts as well. And we are going to move on to a type of psychic event calendar, and the fact that since this is the holiday season and people are trying to give of themselves not only monetarily, but also just by their actions as well. So we are going to run down some of the organizations in this area that might need your help, and perhaps you are willing to give of yourself during this Christmas season and year-round. First, I'd like to mention Forgotten Harvest, and that is Metro Detroit's mobile food rescue program. And they need volunteers Monday through Friday during normal business hours for various food rescue, special events, and office projects. And their telephone number is 248-350-FOOD, F-O-O-D. Once again, that's 248-350-FOOD. Also, there is Dear Hearts Hospice Volunteers, and they seek volunteers in capacities other than patient care, beauticians, barbers, handymen, and those who like to work outdoors are needed. For more information, you may call 734-246-6963. There is also Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic Incorporated, and this is where you read for people that are blind and have learning difficulties. And this is from the kindergarten, all the way up to the graduate level. And to volunteer to make these tapes, and you have to call 248-879-0101 to find out more information about this particular organization. And there's also the Animal Welfare Society of Southeastern Michigan, and they need volunteers for foster care, transporting pets, and other things as well. Their telephone number is 248-584-1150. And another organization that needs help is the Art League of Michigan, and they seek professional artists for Artist Mentorship Youth Program, and that is being run by Felicia Williams. And for more information, you may contact 313-870-1680 for that particular organization. Also, there is the Gleaners Community Food Bank, and they collect, warehouse, and repack and distribute millions of pounds of food for over 300 local agencies. To volunteer, you may call 313-923-3535. There's also the Samaritan Care Hospice, and they are seeking compassionate people to provide support to terminally ill patients, offer caregiver relief, and work on special projects. For more information, you may call Chris. She is the volunteer coordinator, or it could be a he, I'm not really sure. But anyway, you can call Chris at 1-800-397-9360. And also there is the Lighthouse Hospice, and they seek volunteers to assist patients, families, and staff. There is free training, supervision for direct patient care, and also they are asking for help in such things as light housekeeping, office assistance, and other things as well. For more information, you may call 1-800-311-5365, or you may fax them at 1-248-799-6130. Also, if you want to help adults read, you can check out the Siena Literacy Program, I believe that's how it's pronounced, and that's in Detroit, and they need tutors for adults in basic reading and math skills. And you can help another adult learn to read, which is very, very important. For more information on that, you may call 313-532-8404. And one last organization that I'm going to mention is another hospice. It's the Odyssey Hospice, and they seek volunteers. For more information, you may call 248-356-5070. A few organizations that I've talked about that need your help, not only at Christmas time, but year-round. So please keep that in mind. If you would like more information and more organizations that you can volunteer for, check out the latest edition, once again, of Phenomena News, and they have more organizations listed, so you can help out many, many different people if you so desire. And I just want to wish everybody out there a very, very happy holiday. And in closing this show, once again, I do want to read an Irish blessing. And it goes thusly. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. And that's going to do it for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. I am your host, Mike Holloway. And we'll be back next year. That's right, 2008. We'll be back on the 19th of January. So please come back and check out another edition of Metaphysically Speaking. And with all that being said, I just want to say, have a great day, and thank you for listening.